KOWO Radio 104.1 FM would like to welcome you to Windows into Wimberley. Each week, Erica Clapp is joined by a guest to discuss the things that are happening in and around your town. These conversations are designed to provide the community with insight and information on a wide range of topics that are specific to the Wimberley area. Now it's time to look through the windows into Wimberley.
Welcome to this week's episode of Windows into Wimberley. I'm your host, Erica Clapp, and this week my guest is Fire Chief and Arson Investigator Carol Chisos. Thank you for joining me today, Chief. So, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, I was born and raised in Wimberley. I've lived here all my life so far. Been in the fire department since 1969. I have roughly 48 years in the fire department.
So, tell me a little bit about your role as the fire chief. What do you do?
Normal role is day-to-day activity. Keeping the firemen, keeping the people safe, responding to calls, doing maintenance on the trucks, just normal stuff that fire departments do.
So in your time as chief, what has been probably the most challenging event or thing that you've had to deal with?
Definitely the flood of May of 2015. We've had a lot of floods, but nothing of that magnitude. And so that was probably the first one. And then, of course, the major fires of Ace Hardware and then the Cypress Creek Cafe. Yeah.
So what types of training do the firefighters go through to prepare them for those different events? Because obviously a flood's going to be very different from a fire.
Right.
So what types of training do they go
through?
Well,
we do regular fire department training as far as the firemen, the basic firefighter certification. Our firefighters go through that. But then for the swift water, we have swift water we teach for Rescue 3 out of California.
Okay.
Which they're one of the major leading instructor groups that teach for swift water, vertical rescue, and all that. So all of our guys, not all of them, but those that want to go through basic swift water, advanced swift water, and then they can go through boating classes because we have two Zodiac rafts that we use during the flood situation. So we train them for that, and that's those are 24 and 36 hour courses.
It has rained a little bit over the last couple of days, but you know, my understanding is we're, if not in drought conditions, definitely approaching them. What is the fire season out here looking like
We look at a lot of indexes. We rely on the Texas Forestry Service. They do calculations. The KBI index is how much fuel moisture is in the ground and everything. So we start monitoring those to see where we're going to have problems because it shows you a county map and where the driest parts of the county and everything in. And then we gear up all of our firefighters, all of our equipment to fight the wildland fires. And, you know, the fires we have here are different from, say, Bastrop or California. Everybody worries, they see all the fires starting up in California. Well, they start worrying, oh, you know, you're going to burn our, you know, the town down if we get a big fire. Different type of fires. Those travel in the top of trees, ours travel on the ground. So different types of fire. But we gear up for the wildland fires at this time of year because that's normally what we have.
There's been a lot of advancement in technologies, like drones, for example. Are you guys thinking or looking at getting involved in those at any time soon?
We've basically had drones since 2012.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Well, actually, longer than that. We've had drones for almost 13 years now. So
okay.
Whatever that calculates, 2005, I guess.
Yeah.
We've had drones, and we were one of the first in the area. In fact, we were the first in basically Central Texas. We were building our own drones at that time. In fact, one of my main drone pilot right now teaches schools all over the United States for drone pilots.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because you have to be certified through FAA to fly and stuff like that. So he teaches the classes all over. We've had numerous classes here. We're teaching most everybody in the county, sheriff's department, the fire departments, all those that need it. We're teaching the classes here. So we've been using drones for a long time.
Oh, wow. That's,
yes, ma'am.
I obviously didn't know that.
Yes, ma'am.
So tell me a little bit, what do you guys use them for? Do you use them for like scouting or?
We use them, primarily we use them if we have lost people.
Okay.
You know, somebody walks out of the nursing home, a little kid walks away from home, we use it for that. We use it for wildland fire to be able to do a quick survey of the fire and see where it's going. If we have to get the big helicopters in from Austin Starflight, we use them just to see where the fire is going and if there's a water source around. So they're quick weapons for us. During the flood, we flew the river looking for people. We mapped out the river to show the damage for the county. We mapped it all the way out. And then, you know, the sheriff's department calls us now if they need it to do a search for, if they have a search warrant or they're getting ready to do a warrant, we can fly the drones out and do a perimeter look around to make sure nobody's trying to ambush them or anything like that. So they get used in a bunch of different different roles.
That's awesome.
Yes, ma'am.
That's really cool. So you mentioned that you do training for other departments, you know, with the drones and things like that. What about community education? What do you do as far as that?
We do fire prevention. During the fire prevention month in October, we go through all the elementary schools and intermediate schools, and we go into each of the classrooms and do a complete program. And then we have during the national night out, we go out to the different subdivisions and talk to the people there and tell them what's available and what our fire department is. And because a lot of people don't realize that we're still part volunteer and part paid. We still, you know, rely heavily on the volunteers at night, and so they don't understand that. So we explain all that to them, and then we have our national night out here, to where we bring people to here, and we'll have the fire trucks up here. We'll do different demos and stuff like that. So that's basically our community education.
Okay. So you mentioned that you are a combination volunteer and paid fire department. Mm-hmm. So what are the differences between a volunteer firefighter versus a...
Well, there's really not a whole lot of difference. A lot of times the volunteers aren't quite as trained to the full capacity as the paid ones do, the what they call commissioned firefighters. We train ours up through State Firemen's Fire Marshal Association, which goes parallel to the Texas Commission on Fire Protection. They're basically side by side. It's just, if you're going to be a paid firefighter, you need to go through the commission part, and if you're going to be a volunteer, you go through SFFMA. So they're still basically trained to the same capacity.
I've always wondered about that, because I just kind of assumed you could walk and be like, hey, I'm here to volunteer, but you do have to have some training.
Right,
I never knew that.
You have to get the training out of it. Now, fires are still the same. The fires doesn't distinguish between whether you're paid or whether you're not. So, you know, ours are just as hot as the ones they have in Austin.
What can the residents of Wimberley do to make your job easier? What can they do in terms of, you know, not throwing a cigarette out the window when it's really dry, things right. like that. What would you want them to know?
Basically common sense. You know, definitely throwing cigarettes out is a no-no, which, you know, they can get a ticket for littering for doing that. Paying attention to when we put the burn ban on, because the burn ban's put on for a specific reason, that the conditions are really dry, and, you know, any type of fire, if you're not watching it, it's going to escape, you know, and start a wildfire. So if the burn ban is on, then you need to pay attention to that and abide by the rules. If the burn ban's off, then you still need to abide by rules. You need to watch the fire, watch going on. You need to have water out there or some means of controlling the fire, and then make sure it's out before nightfall. And, you know, if you do those, then generally we don't have a whole lot of problems. Since the big fire they had in Bastrop, can't remember what year it was, I'm thinking it was 2012, but I might be off on that. Ever since that big fire, Wembley's done pretty good as far as, you know, they're scared about trying to set any fires like that. So main thing, just, you know, a little common sense and put the fires out when you're through with it.
And is there a place on your website where if they did need to do a controlled burn for whatever reason, they could find guidelines or rules?
Yes, if they go to WembleyFire.com, all the guidelines are on there. They can go to the fire marshal's office, because we have links to them, that they can find all the burning rules of when you can burn, when you can't, and, you know, things you can burn. You can't go out and burn stuff like plastic and stuff like that. You can't burn, like if you tear a house down, you can't burn any of that type of lumber. Basically, really, the only thing you can burn is like brush, you know, so that's pretty much what we had to watch for.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Yes, ma'am.
Is there anything else you want to mention, or?
No, it just, there's some Wembley done really good. You know, knock on wood, we had, except for the one fire that we had a car malfunctioning on the exhaust, you know, set, 19 fires in 6.5 miles.
Oh, wow.
One afternoon that we thought somebody was setting them, but it was actually a car doing it. You know, other than that, Wembley's been really good in the last few years. You know, we didn't have any problem with fireworks, knock on wood. You know, last year we had, I think we had 11 calls in about a 3-hour period of fireworks. So this year, of course, the rain helped a lot during
rain.
That one. So that, I'll take the rain anytime. So, but no, the citizens are doing real good on that. And just, you know, pay attention to the burn ban right now.
Okay, great. And there is a burn ban right now. With the rain, do you suspect that's going to be lifted anytime soon?
The commissioner's court put the burn ban on. The other ones have to take it off.
Okay.
It's not something that the fire departments or the fire marshal's office does. So they're the ones that put it on and take it off. If it gets enough rain countywide, they might do it. They might take it off for a week and then put it back on later on. But it has to be a good substantial rain countywide, not just in one particular area. So I'm hoping if it rains, maybe later on today or tonight, they might take it off tomorrow and leave it off for, you know, through the weekend and next week. But right now, that's up to them.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Ma'am.
I really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Windows into Wimberley. As always, we're here to discuss the things that are happening in and around your town. If there's something happening you'd like to know more about, or if you have topics or suggestions for the show, please contact KOWO General Manager Ryan Shue at 512-965-9969. Join Erica Clapp on KOWO 104.1 FM next time for another look inside the Windows into Wimberley.